Hello, I'm Rachel Richards, and welcome to Teenagers Untangled, the audio hug where we use research by experts and our own experience to discuss everything and anything to do with parenting teenagers.
Hi there, I'm Susie Asley, mindfulness coach and mindful therapist and musician, and mother of three teenagers, two of them are twins.
As a parenting coach, mother of two teenagers and two bonus daughters, I've seen the transformative power of getting people together to share ideas and support each other. So, welcome, pull up a chair and let's begin. Now, Susie, have you ever got up on a Monday morning and thought, oh no?
Never.
Oh, shut up. Of course you. Yeah. Anyway, it's the same with kids.
Oh, it's rhetorical.
It's the same with kids, right? It's just the early mornings, endless routine, you know, particularly when you come back from holiday. We all know that this happens, but Some kids are even more resistant. Either they refuse to go to school or they truant without our knowledge.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about what's going on and how to sort the situation. But first, nuggets.
Nuggets.
So Susie, what's yours for this week?
Mine is a little bit broader. It's not a specific event. It's the idea that stuff takes time. So I think I used to think when they were little, you know, it should be enough to tell them once.
Yes. Like, why haven't they heard?
Yeah, or to do something once.
We've done this.
And then we're done. Tick.
Yes.
Now I've realised It's not quite like that. So I think, I don't know, I experience anyway with my teenagers that, you know, the gentle nudging, sometimes less gentle reminders that we still here. It just is a process, and it doesn't mean that it's not going in or that things aren't happening.
But or they're deliberately doing it to annoy you.
Possibly, quite likely.
No.
They're forgetting. They're just living in that moment. So a reminder to myself that it's not all or nothing. It's not a one fix wonder.
Yeah, I love that, Susie. I think that's so important.
Yeah.
I think, and many of us parents, and me included, will think, you know what, we had this conversation. Yeah. I remember this conversation. Yeah. Why have you not got it?
Yeah.
Because they're a teenager, because we all find it hard to change.
Yes.
We find it hard to remember things.
Yes.
We've got a lot going on. Yes, I love that one. Mine is that one of my daughters came home and we went for a walk the other day, and she said that she'd realized something about being a teenager, which is that it's mostly rubbish. And I just said, well, I hope some of it's fun. And she said, no, she said, Mommy, I just think it's really hard. I love it, you know, a lot of things, but I'm finding it very hard. But she said, I realize it's hard for everybody. And what's happening is I look at other teenagers and think, wow, they've got it really sorted out. They are so lucky. And there's a side of me that wants to be them. And now I've understood that actually I'm looking at the things they're good at that I'm not good at.
Mm.
I'm feeling like I wish I could fix that. But they're looking at me and the things I can do that they can't do, and they feel the same way. So in actual fact, we're all struggling a bit.
Wow, that's amazingly insightful. Most people are about 40 when they realise that.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting because, as I said in my blog about consequences, is that all of us, and particularly teenagers, because so much is pushed on them so quickly, you know, they have to grow up very, very quickly. Yeah. If you look at it and the take on responsibilities and get things right, it's not a linear process, and there will always be stumbles.
Yeah.
And it's about supporting them when they're struggling with something and letting them know that it's normal to, that, you know, because they often look around and think, oh, everyone else is okay.
Yeah. Right. But I think that's really insightful to notice that it's the things that she's struggling with that she picks up in, that she presumes other people can do.
Right.
That's, you know, classic
projection. Very smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Really useful.
That's my kid.
Yeah. Well done.
Okay, none of it was from me.
I think you should take full credit.
Full credit. We're going to talk about score refusal. And the reason, I mean, Susie said, so why are we talking about this? As someone specific asked, and I've seen a couple of comments on boards of parents who are struggling with this. And actually, there have been recently articles in the newspaper about it being a massive problem. So I thought, how interesting. In the UK, Amanda Spielman, who's the chief of the school's watchdog, which is called Ofsted, has warned recently that the social contract between families and schools has broken and that it was the pandemic and that there's a level of ongoing absence from school that is deep and a concerning problem.
Yeah, I can see that and I can understand that. It's the idea of, well, it doesn't really matter if I go in today or not because It's just a day.
It's just a day. And we said to kids, don't go into school because you might have COVID or somebody else might have COVID, which looked like a bit of a sniffle. And if kids got it, most of them got a sniffle, you know. And then we say, now you've got to go to school and it's really, really important.
Yeah, we told them it didn't matter before. It's all we've given. It's very confusing for them.
And for parents too.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that, because some parents will be thinking, yeah, but, you know, they had the odd day off here or there. What difference does it make? In the UK, the latest government figures that I looked at said the annual absence rate is 7.7% across all schools, which actually is low compared to America, where even before the pandemic, about 13% of all students were missing 15 or more days of school a year.
Okay.
And the reason, so we've got to think, well, why does this really matter? The reason attendance is alarming is because it's actually really hard to fix. When kids are not in school, stuff happens. And in the early 2000s, parents often took children away for up to 10 days in a term time. The narrative here changed and it was made the parents' responsibility. They had to get the kids into school. And so things started to get a lot better. And then the pandemic happened and that's changed again.
It's a funny one, isn't it, actually? Because part of me thinks, you know, this relentless making them go to school every day is on one side good for their education. You know, they fall behind and it's really hard. It can be really hard to catch up. And then there's the idea of, as adults, we're terrible at taking care of ourselves and we're not very good at having a day off, and then we end up having burnout. So I kind of also teach my kids that actually, do you know, if you're really, really knackered, then it's really important that you, or you're not quite well enough to go back, like you've had a, you know, nasty cold, and maybe actually having a day off would be really healthy for you. So that's, I think, is really important as well. But I guess the school refusal thing is when people get stuck in a loop of being anxious about going into school, and then it becomes a mental health problem and a stressful thing.
Yes. I mean, we have to get on to the actual definitions of it. I mean, coming on your point, I do say to my kids, you know, if I see them struggling, I will say, right, you've got to take a break. That said, my philosophy right from day one when they were young was that if they say that they can't go into school or they're not well enough, I say, right, I'll just get the thermometer and we'll check your temperature. Okay. If you've got a temperature, you have to stay home.
Yep.
If you haven't, see you later.
Yeah, mine, I think they should be in school, but I still think it's important that
I can see your
take
point.
Take care of themselves.
So the reason it's an issue is that high levels of absence in school causes significant workload and behavioural issues. And that's because, so, you know, imagine a teacher's had to plan out lessons and then X number of students aren't there. Well, now they're missing that information. You know, presumably the lesson was worthwhile. Otherwise, why are they there in the first place? So now they've missed that information and somehow they need to be given at some other time, which is an added workload.
Yeah.
Or when they come back and they don't understand, they disrupt the class. So
feel really awkward.
And they feel
because
awful.
They suddenly don't know what they're talking about.
And with maths in particular, I've spoken to a friend of mine who teaches children who struggle with maths. And I said to her, so how do you do it? And she said, oh, it's easy. I just go back through the syllabus and find out where they miss things. Go back to that, fix that, and then we start building back again and then you're done.
Okay.
I went, it's that simple, is it? All right. Wow. Yes. So reasons they're not in school. There's a difference between school refusal and truanting. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Never thought about it. School refusal is, they're both a symptom, but school refusal is severe emotional distress. And you will probably know about it as a parent. In fact, you will.
Yeah.
You will know. Your child will either, and it can come on at sort of any time, really, any age. There are certain ages when it's more common, but it can cause temper tantrums, depression, signs of illness. They can vomit because they're so scared.
It starts in the stomach.
Yes. And so there will be, it is distress and anxiety about going to school, that school refusal. And typically they will want to stay at home. They're not staying off school so they can go out and party with their friends or can hang out at the local mall. They actually want to stay at home because they feel safe at that. Truancy is much more to do with you'd rather not be there. You'd rather do something else, anything else.
And there's usually some sort of social reason behind that. Not always, but there often is.
Correct. Yeah. So, and it's more common in older children. It's more likely to develop into antisocial behavior, such as delinquency and disruptive acts, lying, stealing, involvement with antisocial peers. And it needs strong parental monitoring because very often parents don't know.
Yeah,
so that's the difference.
Often why it appears in the first place.
Yes, yes. Now, hand on the Bible, I was a truant.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I did a lot of getting out of school. I would just say, oh, I'm not feeling very well. And my mother said, oh, fine, stay at home. And I didn't really have anything else to do, but I just didn't want to be in school. And it was because the school I went to was really scary. And in fact, another mother, when I was older, turned to me and said, oh, you went to that school? We were really scared of those kids. And I was like, so was I. But no one said to me. No. I mean, actually, what happened was they chased me down and they said to my mother, why is she not at school? And she said, oh, she's got a sore throat. I think she's got tonsillitis. And, you know, and so they kept chasing it down. And eventually I had my tonsils out.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I hadn't got any other good excuses. But
did you ever have tonsillitis?
Yeah. But not as bad as I expected.
That's so funny.
But the point... And it hurt having my tonsils.
Yeah.
But the point is, if somebody had actually sat me down and said, no, really, why are you not in school?
Yeah.
And I would have said, because it's really scary and the teachers are horrible to me.
Yeah.
And actually, by the way, this teacher's a horrible teacher and they don't do anything in the class. You know, but I think they didn't want to because the school was a failing school anyway and nobody was asking.
So I'm not sure you'd get away with that anymore, would you? Like, because it's different, like the registration process and the communication between parents.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does still happen. In some areas, you know, kids slip through the net. I'm sure that happens, but I think it's less.
Yes. And so quite often the first time you'll find out about truancy is you'll be called by the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't necessarily know. So first of all, don't overreact. You need to start digging.
Yeah.
Okay. But coming back to school refusal, because let's go there first.
Yeah.
This is anxiety. And it needs to be tackled. Just sending your child to school and saying, you'll get over it, is not necessarily going to fix it. In fact, it could make it worse. So if you are terrified of spiders and someone says, look, just go in the room, the spider's there, it's not going to touch you, it's not going to make you feel any better, you're probably just going to get worse. So what you have to do is, first of all, listen to our podcast on anxiety. That's a good starting place to looking at how do I unpack anxiety.
Yeah, because it's a balance, isn't it, between nudging towards, because if we just go, oh, never mind, stay here and
fine, definitely not.
You're not actually helping. But if you just shove it on, like you just said, then that's not great either. So it's somewhere in between.
It's a conversation with the school, regardless of whether it's truancy or it's school refusal. The first port of call is, I've got to talk to the school about what's happening and say, I'm going to try and get to the bottom of this.
Why?
Do you have information?
Yeah.
You have to, and be really nice to the school, because the school is probably trying to do its best. There may be teachers that are rogue teachers, but let's start from that presumption. The way it can come out is not wanting to get up and get ready, saying they can't go, worrying about little issues, lots of little things. Oh, I don't have the right equipment. Mm. Feeling sick, not sleeping well, you know, not doing their homework, you know, quiet, depressed, all these sorts of things. Look for those little signs. And what makes them feel anxious about going to school? It could be friends.
Mm.
It can be schoolwork. It could be being pressured to learn in a way that doesn't suit them. They may be finding their relationship with their teachers difficult. And it can also be things like special educational needs that haven't been diagnosed, or problems in your own family environment.
Yeah. And once they get disconnected with school, once they fall a little bit behind, or they've just not been listening, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, it's a really horrible feeling sitting in the class. We don't know what's going on.
Yes.
So then, of course, you know, it's I wouldn't want to go back.
Completely
agree. It makes complete sense.
Yes.
But it's a reminder as well that, you know, anxious feelings, they are feelings. They're natural. They're normal. It's a normal response to a situation that doesn't feel very nice. So how can we help them?
So if you had a child that was refusing, it's a really, really good example you've given where, you know, you can feel you've missed work or you didn't understand it in a classroom. You have to sit our child down and say, OK, so actually what's going on?
Yeah, unpack
it. You can talk to me about it.
What is it that's making you anxious? Is it that you don't know the information? How can I help you with that? Is it that the kid next to you is poking you every 2 minutes? You know, it could be something social. It could be a million things out of the list that you just read. But what is it? And what can we put in place that will help you, you know, and reminding them that feeling anxious, feeling uncomfortable in that is normal. How can we help you so that you feel that less, and eventually hopefully it goes away, but we're not trying to, you know, fix the anxiety. No. We're trying to fix the problem.
Yes. So the school refusal is a symptom. The anxiety is a symptom. Yeah. What's underneath it? Yeah. And I'm going to put on the website a really helpful diagram that's called an anxiety iceberg. And you may well find it useful, because a lot, as we've had talked about in a lot of these podcasts, teenagers often find it difficult to either express or frame their emotions. Yes. They don't really know what's going on until you give them a chance. So you what you can do is you can write, you know, I don't want to go to school at the top, and how they feel about it. What are you experiencing? Yeah. And then start brainstorming what the different areas are and where they're finding the problems.
And they might not know, or they might not want to say, so it could take a little while.
Yes. And so if you're coming up against this and you're finding that then they're not coping and you're not being able to get to the bottom of it, you know, CBT can help. Calling a therapist, but you do need to be communicating to school. They do need to know that you are actually taking this seriously, and it is that they are anxious about something.
Yeah, and you can empathize with them to try and get them to open up a bit. You know, that sounds really hard. That sounds really I'd hate to be in a class where I feel really anxious, you know. That sounds awful. How can I help you? What can we do to make you feel a bit better?
Yes. And there's also another thing that I'll put on, which is a link to making a self-soothe package, where there are some teenagers who, if you create a package of things that make them, give them a chance to calm down. So some of them will go to school and then they just get anxious during the day. I know teenagers who will be in a situation and then they'll feel anxious. Yeah. And if you give them a self-soothe package and they know they can carry that round with them.
That's a great
idea.
And
it can be something that reminds them of something comforting, like smell.
Smells are good.
Anything, so that they can just be transported away from whatever's making them feel uncomfortable. It's a known technique.
Great idea. One of my kids had a period where he was feeling anxious in school, and we kind of unpacked it, and it came down to, it was one particular lesson he was really worried about, and that got helped and supported and resolved, and that was good.
And then suddenly it all opens up again, and they feel relieved because somehow they've managed to find an answer to their horrible feelings.
It gets catastrophized in their own heads as well. Try and question their thoughts, because we all do it, don't we? Get fixated with our thoughts, and most of our thoughts aren't true and B, we've kind of blown them all out of proportion. So, you know, say, what, you know, is there anything you like about school? No, nothing.
Yes, love
absolutely
that.
Zero.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So then, you know, turning that around. So there's absolutely nothing you like about school, like nothing at all. Oh, well, the vending machine's quite good. Great.
Food's better than yours, Mum.
Yeah. So, you know, really, and it's not in a fake, let's be false positive about school, but just, you know, exploring with them, you know, what actually is the problem, and is it, can it be a bit more in balance? Questioning their thoughts.
And I think what we need to do is we need to make it clear that the environment that they're living in says you do need to go to school.
Yes.
It is actually in the same way that I need to get up and go to work, you need to get up and go to school. It's not really, and
it's not optional.
And it's not optional. Yeah, so that's
yes,
one
that's
of the
really
problems.
Yeah.
One of the problems is the myth that actually it's okay to miss school, you know, what's a couple of days here and there. Yes, coming back to what you were saying in terms of looking after your high stress mental health, but they do need to know that we have to get used to dealing with day in, day out pressure situations. Right.
Yeah. To also avoid the idea that they're falling behind, because that's hard for them.
Yes. Now, so with the truanting, again, it's active listening. You need to find out. So your child, you've just been called by the school and the school said, right, where was Johnny? He wasn't in.
He's not been in for weeks. He hasn't been
Well, hopefully they'll call you sooner than that.
Yeah, no, they would.
Ask them why they're not going to school and what they did and said. So you can bring it up and just be prepared to actively listen. Don't jump in with your opinion or what they've done wrong. So, you know, what school issues could you be having? Boredom, lack of connection with school teachers or peers, behavioural issues. So, for example, they could have been influenced by peers and want to take risks, push boundaries, But there could have been other major life changes, like moving schools can cause bullying. Yeah. You know, there,
problems
there are
at home, things. They feel uncomfortable.
A lot of it's problems.
A lot of it is related to that. I have a very dear friend who used to work with children who had been excluded for various reasons. And, you know, there was always a reason for it.
Yeah, yeah. So if it's related to school, again, take my example, you know, I had this awful teacher. It's probably best not to walk into the school and say, well, my kid's not there because you have an awful teacher. Because that may well not be received in quite the way that you intended it. So it's actually really important to have a meeting and try and hear their viewpoint too. So what's going on in school? How are they checking up on the kids? You know, the movement, because quite often kids miss one particular class.
Yes.
Or they'll miss whole days. But what are the procedures in terms of letting the parent know that the child isn't there?
And how can really you build a bridge to get them back in again?
And that your teenager needs to know that you're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the same page. Because my ex might listen to this, that he was quite a very big build young man who was causing problems at school. Mm-hmm. And his mother, he recounts, took him by the ear and marched him into school and said, this boy, whatever it takes, you can do it. He's going to sit down. He's going to learn in the classes. And he sort of did.
He sort of because did.
Because his parent had actually, who he loved, had said, I'm not going to put up with it.
Yeah.
And you have my permission to make sure that he's in the class and he's learning. Right. I wouldn't say that's necessarily the right approach. But the point was that he realised that his parent was on board with what the school. It's important that we as parents support the school, or we leave the school.
Yeah.
If you can't support the way the school's doing things, because that happens, and that has happened to me where I've said, you know, this isn't the right school.
Yeah.
You can't keep knocking on the door and saying you're getting it wrong. Yeah. You're getting it wrong. You have to actually say, okay, either I'm going to homeschool, I'm going to move schools.
Yeah. I think sadly it's often when there's a lot of truanting, not always at all, but it can be because there isn't the parental support that is the problem.
Yeah.
But then they're probably not listening to this podcast, so.
No, quite. So let's say they like to go and hang out in the mall. So you can negotiate with them. You can say, yeah, I'd be great. I'd love to go and hang out in the mall too. That sounds really fun. But you need to be going into school. So here's the negotiation. You attend school every day. And the trade-off is that on a Friday, you can go out with your friend to the mall. And, you know, so you find some way that you can discuss it properly.
Yeah. And the respect, talking in a respectful way is really important. And I think teenagers are super pragmatic, aren't they? You know, sitting down with them and discuss, you know, what do you get out of school? What's the point of school? And what happens if you don't go to school? So what are we looking at here? And then sometimes they need to sort of just have bare facts of or just, you know, exploring it together.
Yes.
A reason for going. Is it because you like the lunches? Is it because you want to see your mates? Is it because you want to pass your exam so you can go on to a college? Or do, you know, what's the point of it? Why are we doing this? It's not just for nothing. And what happens if you don't go? What does that look like?
I love that, because also there was a person I accessed who did service work in a prison, and she said she would talk to the guys there each week, and she found out what they were doing as teenagers, basically stealing from their parents, staying out all night, getting high, drinking, wagging school.
Yeah.
And this is a conversation you can have where you say, well, this is where you are right now.
Yeah.
Can you see where that future's leading you and how that would feel? Mm. And is that really what you want?
Yeah.
And here's another option.
Yes.
And you may need to do a staged transition back into school. So if your teenager is a multiple truant, they're probably really behind, and the incentive of going in is terrifying. So you may need to have a conversation with the school about a stage re-entry,
or trying a different, you know, a different college or a different way of learning, or, you know, trying something different because the school system is, you know, it's brilliant for a small minority of kids, isn't it?
Yeah.
But for lots of kids that learn differently, it's not great. Yeah. So are there alternatives?
And showing an interest in supporting their education, we can do an awful lot to scaffold the school system by asking them, you know, what kind of homework they've been doing, taking an interest in what they're learning, encouraging,
celebrating them.
Yes, exactly. All that, making them feel really good.
Yeah.
And that's the key, even if they're not really succeeding at school, making them feel good about the small wins.
Yes. Have they made, you know, they've done a bit of something different in school, celebrate that.
So, and don't underestimate the stress on you if your child is either a school refusal or a truant. These are really difficult things to cope with.
Oh, that's a really good point, because it's really stressful, because we in our own heads go to worst case scenario. What does this mean? What's it going to, how do I fix it? What do I do? And that's really stressful.
So don't catastrophize it. Give yourself some care and accept help from other people.
Yeah, get some support.
Keep a record of your actions. Whatever you're doing, when you're having conversations with your teen, what they're saying, keep records. And it will help if your child is not going to school for a longer period of time, because you need more support. Try and keep a learning routine going at home if they are a refuser. They need to get up, they need to study, they need to stop for lunch. You know, try and keep that exact same routine going, because it will help them transition back into school.
And loads of sort of reassurance. Lots of people who have gone on and had wonderful, beautiful lives have, you know, had gaps in their education. So it really,
like me,
like you, it's really not, you know, all or nothing. It's not the end of the world. It can, it, you know, it doesn't mean their lives are we can really quickly catastrophize.
So we have to help them with those tiny steps to get back to into, right, how is this going to start feeling good? Because let's face it, how many of us turn up to work if you absolutely hate it? You might do it for so long, and then if you see there's another option, you're going to take
the other option. You're going to go there,
So we need to make sure that's something positive, like you said.
It's empathy rather than confrontation.
Absolutely. So what do you think? Have you had a truant? Have you had a school refuser? Is your child an absolutely perfect child who never says anything other than, I can't wait to go to school?
If so, tell us the secret.
I've packed all my bags. I haven't forgotten anything.
Wow. I don't think I've ever had another.
If you've enjoyed the episode, then why not help other parents? Tell your friends, tell the school, subscribe to our podcast, and it would be a massive bonus if, you know, you can give us reviews on Spotify. It's just stars. On Apple, you can write something, and you can write something on Audible if you're listening on that.
I'd love to hear.
You can also sign up to receive all the latest at our own website, which is www.teenagersuntangled.com. There's a blog, reviews, links to other episodes, and you can search the episodes for, you know, keywords. So if you're looking for that anxiety podcast, you can find it there. And you can contact us there. There's even, you can even do a voice message. Susie has her own website, which is
www.amindful-life.co.uk,
and she has all the information that you could possibly want on there. Lots of tips and techniques, both for you and your family. And so definitely check it out. And that's it for now. Goodbye.
Bye bye for now.